when we talk about the super soul as Purusha, he can be liberated or he can be bound. In the Jiva, when liberated or bound, can be called as Purusha. But Kshetrajna primarily means the soul is within the body, and the super soul is also within the body. So Kshetrajna connotates the relationship with matter, with a specific Kshetra. Now what about Jnana and Jaya? Who is the Jaya, the knower? Knowable. Jaya is what? That is just to be known, the knowable. Again, soul and super soul. So, Kshetrajna, Jaya and Purusha, all three are equivalent. But Jaya is, so actually we have to understand, what is this? So actually when we come to the conclusion, we understand properly, this is soul, this is super soul. And then Jnana is the process by which one comes to know the Jaya. So how is the chapter flowing? First, Krishna starts with the basics. What he has already told in the Bhagavad Gita at the start, that beyond the body there is a soul. After that, he gives the process by which one can realize that soul. And then that soul process will give us realization not only of the soul but also of the super soul. So by that we come to the Kshetrajna or the Jaya. And then after we understand the Jaya, then we analyze, okay, how have the two become bound together? So the soul and matter are entirely different. And this section now, 2026, will basically discuss about how the soul and matter or Purusha and Prakriti become connected. And concomitantly, how they will get liberated.
So these are continuing with the Upanishadic-like verses. Yesterday we completed it. The 19th verse, Mad Bhakte Vidya Krishna. So now from 20th onward, we start with the Purusha and Prakriti. Prakritim Purusham Chaiva Vidyanadhirbhavapi Vikaramsya Gunamshaiva Vidhi Prakriti Sambhavan.
Krishna, first thing he tells us about Prakriti and Purusha, both are eternal. Anadi, Ubhava means both. So, how did they come together? Well, both of them are eternal. And Vikaramsha Gunamshaiva, the transformations that are happening, they are because of Prakriti, Prakriti Sambhavan. That means our body grows old, our body is diseased, the soul finds that the body is destroyed. All this, who is doing this? It is the Prakriti which is doing, and the guna, the modes which are affecting, are also Prakriti. The modes is Prabhupada's unique translation of qualities. Now, for us it's very familiar, but generally most of the other Bhagavad Gita commentators translate guna as qualities, which actually creates a lot of ambiguity, because qualities are a general word, and guna, guna conveys a specific meaning in Sanskrit. So, Vikaramsya Gunamshaiva. Now, after describing, okay, the transformations in material nature are happening because of Prakriti. Now, it's one of the most mysterious verses in the Bhagavad Gita. Karya Karana Kartrutve Hetu Prakriti Ruchyate Purusha Sukha Dukkhanam Bhutrutve Hetu Ruchyate.
Nature is said to be the cause of all material causes and effects, whereas the living entity is the cause of the various sufferings and enjoyments in this world.
So what does this mean? It is exactly similar verse to the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Same, entirely 100% same, more or less. Yeah, it's mostly in the 8th and the 9th canto. 8th canto. Kare karana karasvatve hetu prakriti uchyate. So, that means, Prabhupada translates that as, material nature is the cause, nature is the cause of all material causes and effects. So, that means whatever is happening in the body. If I stub my toe against a stone and my stone gets hurt. So this transformation, the cause and the effect, all that is happening. The cause is my stubbing the toe against the stone, and the effect is and the toe getting deformed or toe getting swollen. The cause and the effect are both caused by material nature. What does it mean? Now, cause and effect are caused by material nature in the sense that the body is working according to the modes. And because the body is working according to the modes, everything that happens in this body is actually caused by material nature. So, it's a little confusing when you say that it's the cause of cause and effect. So, a better way to understand, an alternative way to understand would be, is the substratum of all cause and effect. Substratum is the founding existence. It's like say, now we have a carpet here, and the carpet, somebody can lie down, somebody can dance, somebody can walk, somebody can sit on a chair. So everything is happening on the carpet. So like that, material life is the substratum in which all causes and effects take place. And in that sense, it is the ground of all being for the soul as long as in material existence. Now, actually the soul is different from the body. So these changes take place, but the changes also lead to perception of happiness and distress. And that is caused by the purusha. But why the purusha? Bhoktutve. Because of the enjoying mentality. Because the soul wants to enjoy, and to the extent the soul wants to enjoy, he invests his consciousness in material nature. And when he invests his consciousness in material nature, then what happens is he experiences sukha and dukkha. A simple example to understand this. Now, recently there was this Cricket World Cup. And the Cricket World Cup was just very close to Chowpatty Temple. Now, there are some people they're bhoktutve. They are completely absorbed in that. And because their consciousness was invested in that, what happened was, they're experiencing so many emotions. Purusha sukha dukkhana bhoktutve hetu ruchyate. So they want, now why do they invest their consciousness in cricket? Because they want to enjoy. So there's the television screen, and one invests one's consciousness to the television screen to what is happening over there. And then they experience both happiness and distress. But the reason why they experience happiness and distress is because of the desire to enjoy. On the other hand, if somebody is not interested in the cricket only, he says, I don't think the cricket can make me happy, so I'll not bother to watch it. Then there is no sukha dukha. The event same happened. India won, Sri Lanka lost, whatever, Pakistan, whoever won, whoever lost. All that will remain the same. But the effect will not be there. So, that way, the changes in material nature will take place, but the effect on the soul is because of bhoktutve. As long as the bhoktutve is not there, the effect cannot, the changes will take place, the changes will not affect the soul. So, now, there are many times when Prabhupada was asked how, many times Prabhupada was asked how are you? So, I have got nothing to do with this boy. I have got nothing to do with this boy. Prabhupada was very sick, but he said that. And Narmada Maharaj was in final days. Narmada Maharaj is from BBD, Mumbai. So eventually they discovered that he has got Parkinson's. Now, Parkinson's is a disease because of which one loses control over the nervous system, a motor nervous system. I said, my hand, I try to lift it up, the hand starts trembling. You become helpless, you can't do anything. So when that was determined, he decided to take Prayavrat. Prayavrat means it is a vow to fast to death. It is a religious vow, it's not suicide, because it is considered to be a person who feels the mission of my life is over. I have nothing more to live for. The person takes a Prayavrat to end his life. So then devotee went and told him, no, you don't have to do this, we will take care of you. He wrote it away. Then he gave a very profound reply. He said, my body is meant to serve Krishna. If my body cannot serve Krishna anymore, what reason do I have to maintain this body? So, what reason do I have to maintain this body? So, what does that mean? That means, the thing is happening to the body. Parkinson's disease is happening, but because there is no bhoktrutve, there is no enjoyment, so there is no effect. There is no sukha and dukkha, one is transcended. And then surrounded by devotees, he departed from this world. So that means that the happiness and distress which we experience in connection with the body is primarily because of the enjoyment. And to the extent the enjoyment is not there, to the extent material happiness and distress will not affect us. Now a devotee may react at a material level because he wants to serve Krishna. So if a disease is there, he may take medicine. But he is not personally affected by that. Now, something like, you know, suppose there is a very calm pond in a natural setting, and then somebody just jumps into the pond, giving his hands and legs. So when he starts moving his hands and legs, what happens? The water starts flowing. And now it's a small pond, so what happens? All the water that flows, he is causing the disturbance, the ripples. The ripples will go to the coast, and go to the bank, and they will again come back. And when the waves come back, they will hit him. So like that, material nature is a substrate. Material nature is like the pool. And the soul has jumped into that. The soul has jumped into this pool, into the substratum of material nature. And he has waved his hands and legs all around. So what has happened is, he has set off certain chain of actions. And for the chain of actions, the reactions will come. But now if he decides, I am not going to do anything more. I will not shake my hands and legs anymore. So what will happen? The waves that he has set earlier, they are going to come and hit him back again. But because he is not creating any further waves, then the waves will stop. So like that, the bhoktrutva is the cause of the living entity suffering. So now when the soul wants to do bhoktrutva, the karya karana kartrutva. So bhoktrutva and kartrutva. Bhoktrutva is enjoying and kartrutva is doing. So for doing some activity we need two things. Karana is the senses and karya is the activity. So when we want to enjoy, what happens? Kartrutva. We desire to do something. A man desires to approach a woman, then for that he needs his senses. And then he has to go and propose to her and do all the things associated with that. So for that, all that is provided is by material nature. But the initiator, bhoktrutva, all starts with the initiation by the soul, that bhoktrutva. So now after describing this, Krishna is, yeah. Here the word cause is more like a substratum. I think material nature is going to be the mechanism by which everything will happen. Now Krishna will elaborate. Yeah.
Yes, yoga yogi
does he feel something happens to his body? Will he feel inconvenience or does he feel pain? Does a pure devotee feel pain or inconvenience? First of all, let's understand the difference between pain and inconvenience. So pain is just like if we are going on in a car and we meet with an accident and our leg gets fractured. Now our one leg has got a fractured hand. So of course he's transcendental because he's playing, he's doing kirtan. Making all of us transcendental also. So, now if our bodily part gets damaged, then it's a pain. But if you're going in a car and the car gets punctured, that's an inconvenience. No, of course, if you have to attach to the car, it's pain also. But basically, it's not so direct to us. A car getting punctured is not as direct or as intimate as a hand getting fractured. So a car getting punctured, especially if it's not our car, if it's a taxi while you are going, and that gets punctured. You say, okay, I just take another taxi and go, isn't it? So the emotional involvement is not there. So then it's inconvenient. We are going by taxi, the taxi gets punctured. We have to find another taxi, or we have to wait till the taxi gets repaired. It's inconvenient. But if our hand gets fractured, it's a pain. So, now, among the two, for us, all bodily events are like pain. For us, all bodily events are like pain. Now, for a pure devotee, it is an inconvenience. Because for him, the body is a tool for serving Krishna. And he is not able to serve Krishna. But, now, what does that mean? That means, like Bhujan Prudhan, one of the pastimes in My Glorious Master, there, Prabhupada and he had gone for a morning walk. And as they were going along, he saw that, Prabhupada saw that he was trembling a little, because it was very cold in the morning. So Prabhupada can he walk, sometimes he was trembling a lot. It is cold, isn't it? Prabhupada said. Bhujan Prudhan didn't know what to say, he was thinking. He said, finally, yes, Prabhupada. I am also feeling cold. Let us go back. So, it was a very early day, so he didn't know whether a pure devotee feels emotional like heat or cold or whatever. So, he was wondering. So, then he understood that Prabhupada used to go for a morning walk to instruct all of us. And for that purpose, he said that he was fixed. But it is not that a devotee doesn't experience emotions. See, that means the physical stimuli are there. If we say a devotee is dead to physical stimuli, for example, we say that a devotee senses are spiritually alert, materially inert. But if the senses are pure, just materially inert, then when nice prasadam is made, the devotee tastes. Pure devotee also tastes. Prabhupada is very particular. This is good, this is not so good, and this is dog food. When Prabhupada went to Africa, he would say, this is dog food. It is not fit for human consumption. So now we say that he is tasting prasadam. Yes, he is tasting prasadam. But when he is calling dog food, he is not saying that this is prasadam. He is offering to Krishna that it is prasadam. He is saying it is dog food. He is calling prasadam as dog food. Is it an offense? No. Prabhupada is training his disciples over there. Prasadam should also be of a good quality from a material point of view. Not just from a spiritual point of view. Everything is wonderful if it is offered to Krishna. But from a material point of view, also it should be good. That means a devotee is aware of all the material sensations. He is aware. But those material sensations and the resulting emotions, sensations are at the level of the body, emotions are at the level of the mind. So the material sensations and emotions are all subordinated to his singular purpose of serving Krishna. So, just like there will be a lot of distraction in a room, and then because of that you are not able to study. But if you are told in half an hour you have to give a Bhagavatam class, no matter how much distraction is there, you will have to study. Right? Now the other distractions don't matter because the singularity of purpose is there. So, if all of us were in this school, college earlier, if you have to study and it's 6 months for the exam and 6 hours for the exam, what happens? The singularity of purpose is there in 6 hours. It's because of a sense of urgency. So like that, even in our experience we can see, the singularity of purpose is there, then the surrounding emotions and sensations won't affect us so much. So, that means a devotee experiences sensation and emotion at a material level, but his singularity of purpose enables him to transcend it. And because he is transcending it, so therefore, he feels that this doesn't matter to him. So it becomes like an inconvenience to him. The soul, even the soul's consciousness, even for a pure devotee, is rooted through the body. Isn't it? The soul is the pure devotee, as a soul, he is also seeing through the eyes, he is hearing through the ears. So the consciousness is rooted through the body. And because the consciousness is rooted through the body, so whenever something happens to the body, that does affect the person. But although it affects the person, depending on the fixedness of his purpose, he can put aside those disturbances. Like, Anand Maharaj had gone for treatment to Udupi, to Kerala one time, maybe 3 or 3.5 years ago. So at that time, there was a Christian person who was treating him. And just after about maybe 10 days of treatment, he asked Maharaj, how are you feeling? Are you feeling better? So Maharaj was replying. So then he asked him two students, are you feeling a little better? So then Maharaj told him, for as long as I can remember, my body has given me nothing but pain. And that's why I stopped thinking about the body. The only way I live in this body is by thinking about God always. So, we know when that gallbladder, that surgery was done for the gallbladder stones. Big stones. It's horrible, very painful. But because of the singularity of purpose, the devotee is able to transit. So, Shivaram Maharaj tells, and I'll show you about Prabhupada. He says, and that George Harris, that Bhaktivedanta Swaminarayan in London, that court case was going on. So at that time the devotee decided to approach the queen to ask if she can give some help, Queen of England. So then her assistant was there. So he wanted to know a little bit about our movement. So then they gave him a small little amulet to read. And when he read that, he came in. So Shri Ramana wanted to meet him. He says, you cannot understand what, how glorious is the thing that he has done. Why? Because you don't know what it is to be old. You are young, so you are around 50-55. And he said, and you become old. So Shri Ramana writes, he says, now I have crossed 50 and I understand After you go beyond 45-50, the body undergoes a miracle of a wrong kind.
A miracle of the wrong kind. And
he says that now even normal activities are so difficult to do. So now I can understand what he meant. At such an old age, Prabhupada was able to do so much. So that means of Prabhupada's old age certainly had some debilitating effects on his body. But because his purpose was so strong, he is able to transcend it. So therefore, it is, now that's why, now the purpose is important, but sometimes the body just breaks down. If there is pain in the leg, still somebody can walk on it, but the leg is just broken only, then you can't walk on the singularity of purpose. That's why a devotee may eventually also have to take treatment. But the point is that the advanced devotee, because of the singularity of purpose, is able to just transcend the bodily happenings that are there. Maybe 5-6 years ago, Radhishyam was doing Panchakarma. So I was there with him. So we were working on a book. I was editing one of his books at that time. So he said, I am going to take massage. You come and we'll talk over this. So then Radhishyam was a small person. His body was also frayed. So there was this big, heavy-bodied person. You were supposed to do massage. So he climbed on top of Radhishyam Road, one leg on this side and one leg on that side. With his full bodily weight, he was touching. And I was seeing that I was frightened. So this huge person pushing the chest. Radhishyam was traffic with me, I just nothing is happening. As if that person doesn't exist. So, I wish I had a camera to click this photo. It is quite incredible. So, the point is that the more we are fixed in our purpose, the more we can go beyond bodily emotions, bodily sensations and mental emotions. So, this Bhoktritva will be illustrated more in the next verse. Purusha prakriti so hi bhukte prakriti jan gunam karanam guna sangostra sadasatyoni jatnasu. This verse is called as the beach of the sixth chapter of the Jnana section. Just like in the 15th chapter, Krishna described Urvam Mulam Adhara Shakam as an upside down banyan tree. Now every tree begins from a seed. So this verse is a seed. The seed from which the whole tree of material existence grows. What is the seed? The seed is the enjoying mentality. So that Purusha, the soul, why does he become Prakriti Sohi, situated in Prakriti? Because of Bhumte. The Bhumte is the same as the previous one. What does he want to enjoy Bhumte? Prakriti Jan Gunan. So, the modes are born of material nature. So, to enjoy that means, now what does it mean by modes born of material nature? Just like in a movies, all that is there are actually some colors. But the colors are really in a way to create a pattern. And that pattern creates various emotions in the mind. The pattern may be the shape of a woman, the shape of a man, the shape of a beautiful car, shape of a magnificent skyscraper. And all of these create some emotions in our mind. And so things by enjoying, the person who is watching the movie thinks by enjoying this, oh, this is so nice, this is so harmful. It's all those emotions. But basically there are nothing but colors over there. Colors, so like that, when sense objects are nothing but Prakriti Jan Gunan. That means just as the colors produce all these images which the person watching a movie thinks are enjoyable. So like that, the conditioned soul thinks that the products of material nature are enjoyable. But just as the person goes to the movie to watch all these images which are nothing but light patterns, color patterns, patterns of light of different colors. So like that, in this material world, there is nothing but the three modes. But Prakriti Jan Gunan. the three modes and the combination they born of mental nature wants to enjoy. And by that association, karanam guna sangostya, what happens? Sat asat yoni janmasu. So normally sat asat means eternal, non-eternal. But here sat asat means good and bad. Sometimes upper higher species, sometimes lower species. Yoni janmasu, he takes birth. Basically, this word is like an elaboration of the previous words. Second part of the previous words. Purusha sukha dukkhana bhoktutve hi purushati. So bhoktutve has been explained here as bhungte prakriti janguna. And sukha dukkhana means sat asat yon janmasu. So now, in this way, the soul is entrapped in the body trying to enjoy. Now, Krishna is describing about purusha and prakriti. So he describes in the next verse that this purusha is there with prakriti, but along with him there is another purusha.
Upadrashtyānumantācha bharata bhokta maheshvara paramātme tichāpyukto dehe svin purusha para.
Here, in this body, there is another, a transcendental enjoyer who is the Lord, the Supreme Proprietor, who exists as the overseer and permitter, and who is known as the Super Soul.
So, here is describing the how is this Purusha and Prakriti, that union brought about? That is the overseeing and the facilitating. I use the word facilitator. The facilitator for the soul's enjoyment is the Super Soul. He oversees and he permits. Upadrashta anumantacha. So, and his Bharta Bhokta Maheshwara. He is the Bharta. Now, how he is the Bhokta? He is the enjoyer. How is he the enjoyer? Actually, he doesn't enjoy the soul's suffering, but when the soul gets liberated, he enjoys that. And in the hope the soul will get liberated, that's why the super soul comes over here. So, Bharta Bhokta Maheshwara, he is the supreme Ishwara. So, Paramatne Chapyukto Dehesmin Purushaha Paraha. So now, if the word Paraha means another, then it's very clear that there are two Purushas. If the Paraha is used to mean transcendental, then still it's clear that the earlier soul is he is controlled by nature. Karanam guna sangosi satasadyon yadmasu. He is controlled. And he is going here and there, meeting this and that. But this soul is not controlled. He is controller. Maheshwaraha. Upadrashta anumantacha. So to some extent, that these two verses are referring to two different purushas is clear. And this will become more clear in the 15th chapter. Verses 16, 17, 18. But in one sense it's obvious. One is, he is going through different species, the other is overseas. Now, after describing this, Krishna says this is giving a sutra, brief form this knowledge. And he says, the glory of understanding this knowledge. What will happen if you understand this?
Yenam vetti purusham prakritim ca gunaisaha sarvatha vartamanovi sadho yogi jayate.
Sarvatha Vartamanopi means regardless of his present position. That means whatever be the condition is right now, if the soul understands this. So, Vishnachika Thakur said that even if the soul is, even if at present he is sleeping in Japa, it doesn't matter. Not sleeping in Japa. Even if he is troubled by oversleep or troubled by material desires right now, that means troubled by Rajagona Tamogona. Is Sarvatha Vartamano. If he just understands this principle and start molding his life accordingly, he will nasad bhujo abhijayate. He will not be born again in this world. Yes? Okay. In the we see the demigods also witnessing, and here the super soul is also witnessing. So what are how are their roles interconnected? The super soul is there as an escort for the soul. But the super soul is more or less udasina vadasinam. He is situated as if detached. And the working of the material nature is overseen, is managed, not overseen, managed by certain administrative heads. They are the demigods. So now not all demigods are omniscient. In fact, none of them are omniscient. But some of the demigods have got cognizance. Cognizance is awareness. Far more than what we have. So they have partial omniscience. Like Brahmaji has a sort of omniscience by which he can know everything within this earth, within this universe. He can't know anything beyond the universe. But he has that. Hiranyagarbha, he has, as for his service, is required for that. Similarly, Yamaraj also has that. So, in this case, there are witnesses, you know, sun, moon, sky, that list is given in the sixth canto, the Dhamma section. So, these particular devatas are the witnesses. And that is their service to witness the activities of the soul, so that eventually he can be judged. But along with that, the soul cannot work in the material body without the interface of the super soul. So now, even if we say that for the blinking of an eyelid also there is a demigod who will control that. But there is, if I want to raise my hand, for the hands there is a demigod, for the mind there is a demigod, for the sight there is a demigod, that's fine. But these demigods get their power from Krishna. And from Krishna as what? As a super soul in their heart. That means, it's a very, earlier we discussed how is the system, that if I want to raise my hand, I as a soul desire, then the super soul sanctions. And material nature executes. But in the part of material nature executing, there are these devatas. So after the supersoul is my heart is a particular devata who is going to control the motor neurosis. They may not use those terms, but the principle is the same. That supersoul in the heart of that particular devata will guide it, okay, sanction it. And then this will happen. So, the devata's role is after the super soul is sanctioned. And even devatas can't do anything unless the super soul is sanctioned. Okay? Yes, Peter. Yes. Generally, the Bhagavad Gita, whenever it uses the word vetti generally means understanding with realization and application. Only then it is understanding. Otherwise, yeah, that's what it means. Otherwise, it doesn't lead to liberation. It's just like, as in last time, I gave four examples about spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge is like a cooking recipe. You can memorize the cooking recipe, but that will not give you the taste of the cooked item. Actually, you have to memorize the recipe, but after that you have to cook. And after cooking, you can enjoy. So, memorizing the cooking recipe is of no use practically. To know the cooking recipe means to know how to cook and how to enjoy it. So, spiritual knowledge is like a cooking recipe. It is like a medical prescription. Medical prescription also, doctor has given a prescription, yes, I have kept it in my locker. Well, the prescription stays in the locker and the germs will stay in our body. So, the prescription, taking the doctor's prescription is applying it, otherwise there is not much use. And spiritual knowledge is like a map. Like a map. Now, if I want to go from, say, Nagar back to Pune, I need a map. But the map alone does not take me back there. Then the map is to some extent necessary for me. But by the map, by possessing the map, or even by memorizing the map, I don't go back to Pune. By traveling on the road as directed the map, then I reach back to Pune. So it's like geographical knowledge of which is obtained through a map. It does not take us to the destination in and of itself. It's only when one applies that one goes to the destination. So like that, whenever we say vetti means it includes application. So now Krishna describes, okay, if you want to get this knowledge, what are the ways to get this knowledge? Because vetti, one who understands this, what are the ways to understand this? Krishna will give four ways. Dhyanenātmani paśyanti kechidātmānam ātmanā anye saṅkhena yogena karma yogena chāpare. Not for years. Yeah. Some practice of the soul within themselves through meditation. Others through the
So, Kechit. Kechit means song. Where does the word Kechit come? Kechit Kevalyam. Kechit Ahu Rajam Jatam. Kechit is song. So, Kechit. Kechit, some people, what do they do? Dhyani, Atmani Vishnu, by Dhyana. So, this refers to Dhyana Yoga. Then, Sankhena Yogena. Sankhya is analysis of matter and spirit. Now, Sankhya, if it is done, if it is the Sankhya, then it can take us to the Atma and the Paramatma also. And third is, Karma Yogena. So, by Karma, Dhyana, and Sankhya. Karma, Karma Yoga. So, these three, Krishna has already talked about, especially in the first three chapters, first six chapters, first section of the Gita. These are all ways to pursue Kechit Atmanam Atmana. To pursue the soul with the purified mind. Or Atmanam is the soul and the soul by the purified mind. So Atmana is the purified mind. So by the, all these methods the mind will become purified and then one will be able to Ashanti. You will actually see the soul. Now, all these methods are demanding. So is there any other method also? These three methods have got only one stanza. But the next method, one full verse is given for that next method. Anye tvaivaha janantaha shrutvanebhya upasate epi chati taranteva mrutyum shruti parayanaha. Let's, we'll have sequentially, yeah? Because the preparation is having to three devotees are studying. So, we'll just go one by one. From there, we'll start from that corner. That's what. One by one, we'll continue. So, now, anye, some others. Ajanta, they don't know about the soul. They don't know about these processes also. Pashutva anye, they hear from some others. So, the word anya comes twice. The first anya is for others as compared to what was told in the previous process. And second anya is for others as compared to these people. So shutva anyebhya upasate. Then they start worshipping that supreme absolute truth. And cha atitarantya. Atitarantya means to go beyond. What do they go beyond? Mrityu. So the earlier was, you see 24th verse was, na bhuyo abhijayate. They are not born again. The same thing we've been talking about. They will go beyond that. They will not be reborn. How will they do that? Shruti parayana. Shruti parayana is? They are devotees of hearing. Devotees of hearing. Shruti parayana. So, actually, the goal of a devotee is to become Narayana parayana or Krishna parayana. But the way to become Narayana parayana is to first become Shruti parayana. So, this is talking about the process of hearing. This is Bhakti Yoga. Prabhupada explains in the purport that for the common man, hearing is the easiest way. And interestingly, in hearing, the most important to hear, he says, is the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So, Prabhupada would say that just hearing the Hare Krishna Mahamantra from advanced devotees is also very purifying. Now, one time we had gone for Rathyatra in Thane. A big Rathyatra program. So, after Maharaj lecture started, got over, people started going away. So, Maharaj said, please wait. The most important part of the program is beginning now.
That is the kirtan. So, you know, often we don't treat the kirtan as so important. At least I don't, but it's good to remember Prabhupada said like this. The most important activity, we try to use it as a filler for other activities. That is Krishna, that Krishna's mercy as the holy name, that he agrees to be a filler also. But you know, we should also give some exclusive time. That's why we give in Japa, we have our Mangalarti. Which we try to be exclusive time at that time for the holy name. Shruti Parayana. Now, here, Krishna has completed description about Purusha and Prakriti. After completing the description of Purusha and Prakriti, now he will go to Jnana Chakshu. How does it all fit together into a worldview? How does it all fit together by which one can see everything in a complete holistic way? That he will describe in the last eight verses. Nine verses. So now, let's start this section. It's called Jnana Chakshu. In fact, the word Jnana Chakshu is used
by Krishna himself in 35th verse. So now we'll start this basically the summarization of what has been taught in the chapter. But it's in a systematic progressively.
Yavat sanjayate kimche tattvam avara jangamam kshetra kshetravya sanyoga tatvete bharatarshava.
So, it's beginning by what he taught right in the beginning of the chapter, Kshetra and Kshetravya. So whatever you see, everything that you see is just a combination of these two things. So now it's not that everywhere there is a soul, but everywhere there is the soul is acting. It's like this building, there is no soul in the building, but the building has acted because of Kshetra, Kshetravya, Sanyoga, by a combination of matter and spirit. So Yavat Sanjayate, whatever we see is because of this. Now, but what is there further to know in this? It's the combination of Kshetra and Kshetravya. But is there some difference between Kshetra and Kshetravya? That we describe in the next verse.
Samam sarveshu bhuteshu ishtantam parameshwaram vinashyatsva vinashyantam yapashyati kapashyati.
A person in the sphere, one who actually sees. Now, there are some acharyas say this refers to super soul, because it's Parameshwar. Some acharyas say it's Param Ishwar. It is the Ishwar of the body, who is transcendent to the body, the soul. The Prabhupada is soul and super soul both. And it's okay, it can refer to both of them. So basically, they see equally. What do they say equally? What is the equal vision? That within this destructible body, there is an indestructible spirit. The spirit manifests into form, that is soul and super soul. So first is, okay, at least you see the Kshetra and Kshetravya. But what is the means of knowing it? The Kshetravya is eternal. The Kshetra is temporary. So, now there are some schools of thought who accept that there is a soul, but they say the soul dies in the body. What is the use of having calling it a soul? There is nothing more to go on. So, there are some schools of thought who say like, the soul is there, but the soul dies in the body. And that's the Christian idea. They say the souls of the animals are temporary, the souls of the humans are eternal. So the animals also have souls because otherwise how will the animals have consciousness? But that is temporary. Human soul is eternal. Human soul is very special. So they can't conceive how the same soul, because the level of consciousness in the human and animal is a huge difference. You say, how can the same soul go so down and so up? That's no different kind of soul. It's not different kind of soul, it's different kind of covering on the soul. So, Tishthantam Parameshwar. Tishthantam is the situation. So, within this body, this body is destructible, but the soul is indestructible. That is the second first thing to see. And in this way, this is common for everyone. Samam Sarveshu. Now, what is the benefit of this vision? It will be told in the next verse. But before that, no, I was talking about in the building, the soul is not present. I think the super soul is not present. Yeah. It was created by a soul. It was created, so that's why I give an example. How is this building? There will be no soul inhabiting the body, but the soul is created, it's acted on the body, acted on the matter. So whatever we see in existence, moving and non-moving, it is a combination of sanyoga. Sanyoga means combination or a combined, the product of combined action basically. So this mic, the stand, there is no soul present in it, but some soul has acted on it. There was matter and some soul acted on matter. And that's how this mic came about. That Kshetra, Kshetravya, Sanyoga. Yeah, I think a few questions are okay, we are well on track. But if the questions become too many, we will check it surely. So what we will do, we will keep a track that in general we have to complete 12 verses per hour. So maybe we can, maybe both Amadev and Shivalma, we can keep a track If at 50 minutes in a class, we are not completed around 10 verses, then we can check the questions. Okay, that way we can, otherwise if we just don't have any questions, then this subject is also a little abstract. It will become a little difficult. So we have, yeah.
So is it like a Vedic, there is some school
like
it, or like some other philosophy?
No, I was talking about the Christians have the idea that the soul of the animal is temporary.
No, the first two said,
no, there are some philosophies. In the Vedic philosophy, no. Sankhya is, the non-theistic Sankhya doesn't accept the soul only. Otherwise, Mimamsa, Yoga, Vedanta, they all accept soul.
No,
the point I'm talking about is some, that's what I said.
Among them,
among Christians, I was saying they have the idea the soul dies. See, what happens is everybody uses the same word, but their idea of soul and our idea of soul is very different, although the word is the same. So their idea of, even their idea of this human soul is also different from our soul. Their human soul is partially eternal. You know what you mean by partially eternal? Every time a man and a woman unite, a soul is created. And after creation is eternal.
That is their idea.
And after creation, after every time a man and a woman unite, a soul is created. And if that soul does not accept Jesus as a savior, for eternity he will burn in hell. So there was St. Augustine, he is considered one of the most famous theologians in Christian history. And he was very brilliant, but he said that all unbaptized babies will burn forever in hell. That was their idea. And he considered a great saint. Unbaptized means those who don't accept Jesus as a savior, they will burn forever in hell. So he used to say that even if your baby is about to die, before medicine you give baptism. So now, sometimes it can be a little fanatical. So exclusivism, this is the only way. We'll discuss more about this in the 17th chapter. But in general, exclusivism leads to very intellectually superficial and indefensible claims. Baptism is like accepting Jesus as a savior. That's called baptism. So, now he discusses, in the next verse, he's going to describe what is the benefit of baptism. Samam pashyan hi sarvatra samavastitam ishvaram na hinatyatmanatmanam tato yati param gatim. So, by seeing in an equal way that the super soul is situated in all hearts, what will happen is very interesting. It seems the connection is a little abstract. By seeing the super soul everywhere, you will not degrade yourself by the mind. The understanding is that actually, if you understand that it is the super soul who is sanctioning everything that is happening, then we will not become vengeful, we will not become angry, we will not become lusty, we will not succumb to the wrong paths prodded by the mind. And that's how we'll be able to go on the Paramgati. So by seeing the super soul everywhere, you will be able to see that actually what is happening is according to Krishna's plan. So then how should I respond? I should say, what is Krishna's plan for me? How does Krishna want me to respond in the situation? And by that understanding, one can move forward. We'll discuss this, 18th chapter we'll discuss this question. Because this is an important question, it will require some time to answer. So, does this idea that the super soul is controlling everything lead to sort of fatalism? No, just surrender to whatever is happening. It doesn't, we'll discuss that later. But the idea is, this is this principle. That often we become angry at people, we become vengeful, we become violent, because we see people easily like this. But when we see the super soul controls everything, then we will respond naturally and properly. And that's how we will be saved from our mind. Now how, because this is a big claim Krishna is making, by seeing that super soul, you will be able to become, you will be saved yourself from degradation by the mind and you will attain the supreme destination. Now how that will happen is described in the next 6 verses. So the benefit is summarized in one verse and it is elaborated on in the next 6 verses. Of course the elaboration is quite philosophical.
but that's in tune with the nature of the section. Prakrutyaiva cha karmani kriyamanani sarvashah yaha pashyati kathatmanam akartaram prapashyati. So, what do we see? That actually, everything that is happening is by material nature only. Prakriti which this is a very, this is, was very similar to which one? 3.27, Prakriti Kriyamana. So, the only difference is what? There, Vimudha, what is that? Gune Kramantya? Vimudha. Ahankara Vimudhatma Karta Hanti Mati. Here the soul is opposite. Yaha Pashitha Atmanam Akarta Aranth Pashati. Where is? Karta Hamiti Manyate. So there the soul is foolish, here the soul is enlightened, wise. He's able to understand. Only nature, mental nature is doing all this. So now what happens by this? Actually, many times we become irritated with the way people behave. Well, why is this person so lazy? Why is this person so unclean? Why is this person so gossiping? Why is this person like this? So in the Bhagavad also this thing comes that actually the way people behave is a product of their material natures. And by the process of bhakti they will get purified. But till then, all that we have to do is tolerate. People are just, it is just their body and mind in a particular way and they are going to behave like that. So, this pastime of Prithu and Indra is there. So we know that the Lord did not chastise, although Indra was wrong, the Lord did not chastise Indra, he just says too soon. So Ram Maharaj in one lecture says that actually he says Lord Vishnu knows that people are what they are. And you cannot artificially or suddenly expect them to rise up to a higher level. So first accept the level that they are and see how you can engage them. So that is what is taught through this past. So Indra is what he is. And even the chastisement of Vishnu is not going to change him. So, so, what should you do? See at his level what he is, how he can be engaged. Now, of course, this does not mean that we can compromise our standards. Now, if somebody wants to be a brahmachari, then he has to follow certain standards. Now, there are ashrams which are suitable according to particular standards. But the point is, we cannot expect people to change overnight. Many times our frustration comes up because people don't live up to our expectations. But then, and generally when somebody is not able to live up to our expectations, we blame that person as insincere. But it need not be always like that. Some people just have certain strong conditioning that they just behave like that. So, prakriteva cha karmani kriyamanani karcha. Actually, it's the body which is making them behave like that. The body and mind which is making them behave like that. Once one understands this, now this is not what the person should justify. This is what the authority should feel. You know, if I feel this is the way I am, you know, then that becomes justification. I should try my best to change myself. But the authority should see that, okay, this is the way he is, so let me engage him according to the, his conditioning. Yaha pashyati. So then this is the first thing. If you don't want our mind to degrade ourselves, what is it? People are the way they are because of their psychophysical nature. Actually, they are not the doers. They are just being triggered. So even if they are behaving angrily towards me, it's just because by my own past karma, the super soul is sanctioning them to act according to their nature. And by their nature, they are becoming angry. By their nature, they are becoming irritated or irritable, whatever it is. Now the next verse is taking this theme further. Because the earlier verse said one thing, that samam sarveshu bhuti. So what is that equal vision that is described in this verse? Yada bhuta prithak bhavam ekastham anupashyati tata eva cha vistaram brahma sampadyate tada. Yes. So basically, Bhuta Prithak Bhavam. We see different people with different natures, different behaviors, different personalities, but
ekastamanu pashyati, one who sees the oneness. They are all soul, and that's in the nature of, in their quality as soul, they are all similar to me. Tatta eva chavistaram. But that one soul, has got different psychophysical conditioning and is manifesting in different ways. So now, Chakravarti Pada explains in his commentary that actually in the Aparayamita Spanyam verse, that is, that there is a tapastha shakti, which from which comprises Jivatma. So he says there's actually a collective consciousness of Jiva Shakti. A collective consciousness, and within that collective consciousness is individual consciousness. That means what? When the souls are withdrawn into the body of Mahavishnu at the time of the destruction of the whole universe or the whole creation, at that time they exist as the aggregate of collective consciousness, which is the Sushupti. And then just like all of us, when we are dreaming, we have different dreams. But in a dreamless sleep, it's all one. There is no experience. So there is an aggregate of collective, the aggregate of collective consciousness. That is the aparashakti. And that aparashakti gives rise to jivas. And those jivas have their individual consciousness. So here, and now this verse could be taken to mean very impersonalistically as that there is one Brahman, and from that Brahman all souls have come out. And one who understands that this is the way, he'll himself become Brahman. That could be like that, but if you look at the earlier verses, there are two Purushas which are talked about. So therefore, this means that there is one collective aggregate from which individual consciousness come out. And individual souls manifest as individual consciousness. And when one understands that in quality, all souls are having similar consciousness, then one has come to the spiritual level of consciousness. So first we see that, okay, this person, actually at the level of body, he is controlled by his psychophysical nature. But at the level of soul, he is just like me. He is just like me. There is no difference between him and me as a soul. At the second level, then what happens? What is the, further we understand the nature of the soul. Anadistvān nirgunatvān paramātmāyam avyayah sharirastho pitam seya karoti na tisyate. Yes. So, sharirastho. This was related to purusha prakritistho hi. Prakritistho, sharirastho. The same thing. Soul is situated in the body, and what is he doing? Although he is situated in the body, na karoti na nityate. He does not do anything and he is not attached. So why is that like that? Because he is anadi and nirguna. He is transcendental to time and space. Material nature is characterized by time and space. So the soul is transcendental to time and space. Parama. Avyaya. Parama is transcendental. Avyaya is beyond time. Nirguna is beyond matter, in touch of matter. So, na karoti na nityate. Now the next two verses will give examples to illustrate this na karoti na nityate. How can the soul be in the body and not be affected by the body? Not be doing anything, not be attached. That will be illustrated in the next verse. So the idea is, the soul remains pure, soul remains unaffected in spite of being in the body. So, now this will be illustrated in two verses. यथा सर्वगतं सौक्ष्म्यात् आकाशं नोपलिप्यते सर्वत्रावस्थितो देहे तथात्मानोपलिप्यते. Earlier, the kham, sarvagatam sokhya, akash or kham. Akash is not exactly sky, it is ether, and there is no equivalent translation. Prabhupada in the word sky, it is approximate. But the ether is a substratum for space, and the ether doesn't become dirty just because, you know, the plate, the space, there is a toilet is created. Or the ether doesn't become pure, or become ether become pure because there is a tulsi plant is planted, or a rose garden is planted.
So ether is unaffected. So like that, the soul may be in a abominable body or a glorious body. The soul is unaffected. The example of ether is given. Now, the example of the ether does not convey, it conveys the idea of na lipyate. It is not bound. But the ether is not doing anything to the matter, isn't it? Okay, the substratum of where the toilet is created, a space is not doing anything to the toilet. And the space is just there and the toilet, the two are not mixing together. But the soul is affecting the body. The soul is giving life to the body. So how can somebody act on the body and still not be a doer? So na lipyate is illustrated through this verse, and na karoti will be illustrated through the next verse. Yatha. Yeah, that's why I said that it's an approximate translation. Because you know, the word is Akash, and Prabhupada is the sky and he is the air. The translation there is approximate. Principles of ether. Okay, so good. It's an important point. It's the transition now. So, the previous verse described how we should see others. And now it's describing one, those who see like this, how they remain unaffected. Now, somebody else is attached and is acting accordingly, he will be affected. If somebody is acting according to his conditioning, if he acts according to his conditioning, then he's going to be bound by karma. But if I can see him as being affected by his conditioning and I don't blame him, then I don't become bound. Okay. So now, yatha prakashayatyekah krishnam lokaminam ravih kshetram kshetritah krishnam prakashayati bharata. So now, the sun illuminates the earth. The sun is far, far away from the earth in terms of physical distance. But is the sun doing anything on the earth? I mean, it's doing a lot of things on the earth. Because the sun only the crops grow, because the sun only the flowers blossom, because the sun only practical nature comes into activity. But all the sun is doing all this on the earth, is the sun affected by it? No. So, like that, the soul, just as the sun's illumination by reaching the earth does all these things, the soul's consciousness by reaching the body does all these things in the body. And the soul itself is unaffected. That's why I discussed about yesterday of chit and chitta, the difference. So, like that, the soul, by his consciousness radiating through the body, is affecting the whole body. But the soul himself is unaffected. So, there's chitta and chitta is explained by Baldev Vidyabhushan in another way. He uses the word jnana swarupa and jnana rupa. So just the term, don't get confused or frightened by the term. It's a very simple concept. This jnana swarupa and jnana rupa, what does it mean? He says that the rupa is the form, swarupa is one's own form. So he says the soul's consciousness or jnana gets conditioned by the rupa that he has got. For example, the soul, when he gets the rupa of a dog, it's a body of a dog, then his consciousness becomes like that of a dog. And now one of the characteristics of the soul is described in the second chapter, avikaryo yamuchyate. The soul doesn't change. Avikar, the soul doesn't change. That means the soul doesn't undergo the six changes. But if the soul's consciousness change, the soul doesn't change, the soul's consciousness changes. The whole process is purification. So, the jnana of the soul takes the room of the body which is acquired, which is got here. So then, accordingly with the body and the afghan, so if I have a male body, then my jnana rupa becomes, I start seeing the world as a male. But apart from this jnana rupa, the soul has this jnana swarupa. That means the soul's original consciousness, independent of the body as a soul, as a servant of Krishna. So that will be awakened by this process of jnana chakshu. So now Krishna concludes this section by giving the summary. So what he told, that you become liberated,
You will not be degraded when you attain the supreme destination. He told that in verse 29. So now he is going to 29 verse. Yeah, 29 he said that. So now he is going to repeat that. A different way. Kshetra kshetrajna yorevam antaram jnana chakshusha bhuta prakriti moksham cha ye vidurianti te param. So antara is the difference. The spiritual life begins by first understanding the difference between kshetra and kshetrajna. That's how the difference between the body and the soul. And Chakravarti Pad described that this antara is not just between kshetra and kshetrajna, it is also between the two kshetrajnas. So spiritual life begins when you understand the difference between kshetra and kshetrajna. But spiritual life advances when you understand the difference between the two kshetrajnas. So we have to understand the difference between jivatma and paramatma. And how will you understand it? By jnana chakshusha, by acquiring knowledge. And this is one thing, and then along with that, we have to have the process. Bhuta prakriti moksham cha. Bhuta is a living entity. How he can be liberated from prakriti? When he understands these two things, he will attain the supreme destination. So in this way, we have attained the destination of completing the complicated 13th chapter. It's like climbing the Himalayan mountains, so I am going through the highest peak of the mountains. Now there are smaller peaks remaining, which will scale by the mercy of the Prabhupada and Chakravarti Pad. So we will have a break now, half an hour break, and then today we will try to complete 14 and 15 chapters. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai.